this Wednesday night. I hope that you and your family are keeping well, and as always, we do greatly appreciate you tuning in to the meeting this evening. As has been our pattern on our Wednesday nights, we've been opening God's Word for a short time and for a little devotional message, and then we're encouraging you and your family to spend a short season in prayer, as we would normally do on a Wednesday night in our church. And certainly there's much to pray for in these days. So I'll give you a few prayer pointers a little later on. But this evening I want you to come in your Bible to Genesis and chapter number 22. Genesis and chapter number 22. Now you've probably heard this passage preached on countless times. And of course it's the great passage of Abraham and Isaac. And you've probably heard it preached on in relation to a foreshadowing of Calvary, and of course it is that. It's one of the great passages of the Word of God in the Old Testament that prefigures Calvary and the Lamb of God that would be slain upon Mount Calvary. Maybe you've heard it preached on in relation to worship, maybe a workshop on worship, and of course we have that in Genesis 22 where Abraham offers Isaac as an extension of his worship to God. But this evening, I want to look at it slightly differently, and I guess it all kind of ties together. But tonight, I want to look at God's provision for every path. God's provision for every path. And I'm going to explain that a little bit later, and as we get into the text. But let's read together Genesis chapter 22, and let's read down from verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now let's just pause and pray, and let's ask that God would be with us and speak to us and teach us from his word this evening. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence again this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you, our Father, for the throne of grace that we are able to come to this evening to obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. And Father, every time we open your word, it's a time of need because we need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand what is written before us. Father, save all of us tonight from familiarity. We have heard and we have read this passage many times, but we know that every time we come to your word, there's something fresh for us. Lord, you know where each of your people are found in their walk with you. Lord, you know those who are discouraged and downcast. Lord, you know those who are being tested like Abraham. Lord, you know those who just are in need of the Lord today. And we ask our Father that whatever our need is, that you would meet it through your word. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the author of your word, that it's inspired and inerrant. Lord, we do thank you these things were written for our learning. May we learn of you tonight. We want to thank you again for your Son and how he's prefigured in this great passage, the Lamb of God who would be slain on Mount Calvary. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. And we thank you that he laid down his life for us. And we come in his name tonight to give thanks. And we come in his name, Father, and ask that you'll be everything to us. Lord, that you'll help me to preach your word fervently and in the Spirit. And that, Lord, we pray as your people listen, that they'd be fed from your word. And a little later, Lord, as we would encourage each other to go to prayer. Lord, we're a needy people in these days, and we have much to pray for. And we ask our God that you would hear, and you would answer, and that you would move in these days in our hearts and lives, and even across our land. Remember others preaching your word this evening. We commit them to you. But for our short time in Sainfield, we ask that you'll bless the ministry of your word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder, do you ever embark on something believing that you're following the leading of the Lord and you've had very clear unction from God, or you've had very clear guidance from God? But as you embark on that particular thing, you do so wondering how on earth it's going to play out. The Lord calls you to do something. The Lord calls you to go somewhere. The Lord begins to lead you down a road. And as events begin to unfold, you begin to wonder, how on earth is this going to play out? Do you ever find yourself facing a great need? Backed into a corner in some way, finding yourself facing some circumstances, and really from a human point of view, all hope is gone, or you find yourself wondering how this impossible need is going to be met. Maybe that's where you are this evening. You've got a need, and you've exhausted every avenue, and you're wondering how the need is going to be met. Do you ever find yourself wondering, even though you've been on the road a long time, even though you've been trusting God a long time, do you ever get those days when you wonder how on earth God is going to work this out or sort that out? If you've ever found yourself, or do this evening find yourself feeling those things, you're in good company tonight, because we come to Abraham, the great friend of God. He's, of course, the father of all that believe, and he's that man, that great giant of faith that the Bible speaks so much about, the man that knew the Lord intimately. And he has found himself on more than one occasion being called by God to do something, maybe not fully aware of how it was going to play out. That all started, of course, in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, you'll remember how that Abraham received the call of God to leave the Ur of the Chaldees for the land of Canaan. He was called to leave behind his old faith, the pagan faith of the Chaldeans. He was called to leave behind his father and his family and all that was familiar to him. And God called him to leave that place, but God did not give Abraham a roadmap or a detailed breakdown of the journey. God says, I want you to leave, and I want you to go into a land that I'm going to show you of, but I'm not going to give you a roadmap. Abraham only had two things when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. He had a call. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, God says to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, onto a land that I will show thee. Abraham had a call, and it's so vitally important that when we're moving in some kind of direction, that we have a call from God. Abraham had a call. But not only that, Abraham also had a covenant. Because in Genesis 12 and verse 2, God says again to Abraham, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Oh yes, Abraham had a call, and Abraham had a covenant. But you could say, and again we say these things reverently, but God was sketchy on the specifics. God did not give Abraham every little detail of how that journey was going to play out. He gave him a call, he gave him a covenant, but that was kind of where it finished. God did not get into the specifics of the journey. And yet Abraham stands as a great example. He wasn't perfect, but he stands as a great example of what it means to trust and obey. Abraham didn't wait to have all of the details before he made his move. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, we read that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and then listen to this, he went out not knowing whether he went. He cast himself upon God with a call and with the covenant. He cast himself upon the Lord. When we come to Genesis chapter 22, we're 25 or 30 years down the road. Abraham's promised son that he longed for had been born. Isaac, the heir that God had promised him he would provide. Isaac had been born, and Abraham's life, you could say, was now complete, and he is content. But then God calls Abraham to do something massive. He calls Abraham to do something monumental. In Genesis 12, he asks him to leave behind his father. Now, it's as if God asks him to give up his son. You know, God calls him to do something massive and monumental. But God calls him to do something with a meaning far greater than Abraham realized, because here we have that great chapter where God would prefigure, God would give us an insight into what would happen thousands of years later upon the cross of Calvary. Something that would involve, this here in Genesis chapter 22, this call was something that would involve Abraham's dearest possession, his only son, finishing up upon an altar. While this is a story of willing sacrifice, it's also a story of wonderful provision. And that's the angle I want to come at this evening. God meeting our needs. God's provision for every pathway. You know, it's a tremendously encouraging account of God not only knowing, but also meeting the deepest and greatest needs of his own children. And that's something I want you to remember tonight. God takes us on pathways, and God not only knows what your need is tonight, and doesn't only know what my need is tonight, but God also knows the means of how he's going to meet that particular need. And here, one of the lessons we learn in Genesis 22 is that Abraham was taken on this journey not just to prove his own character, but to further prove the character of God. And every step we take in life until we get to glory is God not only proving our character and building our character, but it's further proving his character, that the God that we serve this evening is faithful and is worthy to be praised, and is no man's debtor, and is able to meet our greatest needs. I want us to go on this journey this evening and look at just three very simple things in the time that remains this evening from Genesis chapter 22. As we look at God's provision for every pathway, God taking Abraham on a journey and meeting his every need. The first thing I want you to see is God's purpose from the start. What was the purpose of this journey? Yes, of course, the purpose was to take Isaac up the mountain and offer him on the altar, but you know, there was a bigger purpose in this. From the start, we are left in no doubt what God's purpose is in this journey. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham, not tempt, test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. God did test Abraham. This is God's purpose from the start. Where Satan tempts us to bring out our bad, God tests us to bring out our good. From the word go, God knew exactly what he was doing, why he was doing it, and how all of these events were going to play out. God always knew. God knew exactly what he was doing here. God knew exactly the reasons why he was asking Abraham to do what he'd done. However, here's the thing. In this moment, Abraham didn't. Abraham received this call. He didn't yet have all of the details. In fact, they didn't actually come until a little later on. However, Abraham here was not only faced with extreme circumstances, but from a human point of view, he was also faced with a great conundrum. Let's think about this from Abraham's point of view. He's received this son from the Lord that he has prayed for so many years. And Abraham, as he receives this call from the Lord, where the Lord has said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, I want you to pack up, I want you to head to a mountain, I want you to lay him on the altar, I want you to slay him, and then I want you to offer him up as a burnt offering. Here's Abraham, perhaps. And he sits and he says to himself, Do I obey? Even though this makes no sense to me and it seems contradictory. God had said that my son is going to be my heir and that all nations are going to be blessed through me. So do I take this boy and obey the Lord even though it seems contrary to my nature and contradictory to the promise that God has given? Or do I conclude that such a ridiculous request cannot possibly have a divine origin? I've prayed for this son for years. God miraculously granted his birth. Could God really now be asking me to be responsible for his death? Could that be the case? And he could have begun to have doubted God. He could have begun to misread the guidance that God had given him to the point where he didn't move forward. I think it's really interesting that we find here that God issues the command for Abraham to go and do this thing. And when God issues the command, he then retreats into silence to await Abraham's response. You know, it wasn't until Isaac was upon the altar that God spoke and proceeded to explain his purpose from the start. And of course, his purpose in all of this was not to produce faith in Abraham, but to prove Abraham's faith. To prove the reality of Abraham's love and loyalty. But when the call came forth, God didn't quite reveal his full purpose. He just put out the call and waited to see. Of course, the Lord knew the end from the beginning. The Lord knew whether or not Abraham would obey. But here was a test. And here we could apply the words of the Lord Jesus when he said in John 13 and 7, when he washed the disciples' feet, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. How often God calls us to walk a path. Ask something of us, but only issues a call. You could say only gives an initial instruction and then retreats to await our response. Sometimes God will only give us a glimpse of his purpose. God will only issue the call, and you know, God is waiting to see if we're going to embark on this. And so often from a human point of view, we want a detailed roadmap. We want to know how everything's going to play out. We kind of want to do a risk assessment, and we're hearing lots about that at the moment. But we want to do a risk assessment of God's plan for our lives. We want to do a risk assessment of God's call. And I know this is very easy to preach, but the first thing so often we do is to try and figure out God's purpose, try and read the roadmap. And that's a very human response. If you're like me, we'll even wrestle whether or not it's from God. Maybe when we embark on a path and we believe it's the Lord's leading, and then when we hit a roadblock, when we find ourselves faced with something that seems impossible, we then begin to wonder, have we misread God's guidance? We look for loopholes. And God says, I just want you to trust me. I just want you to trust me. Abraham done that in verse 3. It says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac and his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went onto the place of which God had told him. Abraham showed no reluctance, and I marvel at this, because if this had been me, I'd have been wrestling with the Lord over this for days. Lord, do you really want me to do this, even though the call had come? I remember when we were called to Sinfield, the Lord spoke very clearly to me from a particular verse. And I had this mindset, you know, that the Lord had to speak to me 3 or 4 or 5 times, you know, and confirm it in all kinds of manners of verses, the way you hear of some people doing. And I remember sitting in bed one night wrestling with this and talking to Rachel about it. And she says, how many times do you need the Lord to call you? How many times did he call Abraham when in Genesis chapter 12? He called him once and said, go. Here in Genesis 22, God didn't give Abraham hundreds of verses. Sometimes God does the work of God. But God just says, go. I want you just to trust me. I want you just to do this. And sometimes we complicate it. And I think it's amazing that the very next day, he rose up early in the morning. He didn't even have a lion. Pastor David Guzik says Abraham had to learn the difference between trusting the promise and trusting the promiser. We can put God's promise before God himself and feel it is our responsibility to bring the promise to pass, even if we have to disobey God to do it. Trust the promiser no matter what, and the promise will be taken care of. And you imagine if it had been in this circumstance, you know, Abraham's going, but hang on a minute, God, you'd promised that you were going to succeed the line through Isaac, and now you want me to kill him. No, I'm going to stick with that, and I'm not going to obey you now. But Guzik is right. Trust the promiser no matter what, and the promise will be taken care of. When God opens a door, whether or not we know what is on the other side, when God has opened that door, always walk through it. Always walk through it. What's on the other side, I don't know, and God may not show us. It might be an altar where God is going to ask a great sacrifice of us. It might be a mountain where God is going to ask a great effort of us. It might be a new land where God is going to start a great work through us. But one thing is sure, God has a purpose for every pathway he calls us to walk. And I don't know how many times we find ourselves stuck on the other side of the doorway, fearful to walk in the will of the Lord. Imagine if Abraham had have resisted. We wouldn't have had the great revelation before us that we have. But Abraham walked through. Oh, we see God's purpose from the start. It was to prove Abraham's faith. God had a purpose in all of this. But then I want you to see, secondly, God's preparation on the way. We see God's purpose at the start, but we see God's preparation on the way. You and I know how the story ends because we read it in retrospect. And always remember that from God's word. You know, these are real people. This is real lives. And we kind of read the Bible from a bird's eye view. We've got the complete story, the complete picture. We know how the story ends, but amazingly, Abraham, who was living it in reality, he also knew how the story was going to end. Look at verses 7 and 8, because as Abraham goes, and Isaac, at whatever age he was obviously at an age where he could have a coherent conversation, and he understood the sacrificial system to some degree. And it says in verse 7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself for a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." Abraham knew how the story was going to end. Now, was Abraham doubting here? Was Abraham saying, you know, I'm not going to have to offer Isaac because God's going to intervene? No, I believe that Abraham had such great faith that he believed that when he offered Isaac on the altar, that God would have the power to resurrect him. Now, this is a unique event in history, but here we have one of the greatest statements of faith in all of human history. Abraham knew God would come through in the end. Now, what Abraham didn't know is how God would come through. He knew God would come through, but he didn't know exactly how. Now, that is faith. What Abraham didn't know, and I want you to listen carefully, because this is the bit that really the Lord spoke to me about. What Abraham didn't know is that as he set off on a journey in obedience to God's word, as he packed up his donkeys, as he got the wood, as he took Isaac, as he took the knife, as he took his servants, and as he headed off towards Moriah, as Abraham set off on a journey in obedience to God's word, a ram had also set off on a journey in accordance with God's will. You see, God was already at work, preparing an answer, preparing a provision that Abraham knew nothing about as yet. Ahead of Abraham on top of Mount Moriah, God had identified a thicket, a thorn bush. Ahead of Abraham on top of Mount Moriah, God had identified a ram. And God knew what Abraham's greatest need would be in the moment up that mountain. And so rather than reacting then, God preempted that need before it arose. And God providentially got that ram into place, meaning that it was ready when Abraham needed it. You see, as Abraham made his way, God was preparing a ram and was going to come through in the end. Here's the thing. Abraham had to take the steps in faith first to prove the provision of God. Abraham had to take the steps in faith first to prove the provision of God. How did Abraham know that God was going to provide? He didn't have anything to go on in the moment. He hadn't, he hadn't his wife to lean on. He hadn't anything else to lean on. How did he know? He had proved God in the past. And past provings are the pave stones for present trials, that God was at work. And Abraham maybe wasn't sure exactly what way God would provide a lamb, but God would have a way of working it out. And as Abraham was, and I just think that's an incredible picture, that as Abraham was walking up that mountain, and you could say on the other side, a ram was also making its way, and that ram would get caught that particular day, at that particular moment. Oh folks, God's providence is always perfect. But we have got to take the steps in faith to prove both his providence and his provision. And when God calls us to walk whatever pathway he chooses, regardless of how great the need is, God is always at work along the way. God is always one step ahead, going before us. John chapter 10 and verse 4, the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, says that when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He goes before us. How often we doubt God, wondering how he's going to work this out or work that out. We embark on a pathway and it's all brilliant until we hit a roadblock, and then we begin to doubt the Lord. And we begin to wonder, how's the Lord going to work this out? Maybe that's where you are tonight. You're wondering, is God really at work in my circumstances? He is at work. Maybe you can't see it. Abraham couldn't see. Abraham had to walk up the mountain. Abraham didn't know the ram was there. Didn't know it was caught in the thicket. Knew God would provide in some way, but hadn't seen it all worked out, but God had. This is a message to my heart as much as yours. Do you see, the next time you're tempted to doubt, think of God's great providence in this story, the one who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Think of the fact that God will always come through. God's always at work behind the scenes, even though our circumstances are telling us different. Be patient and wait upon the Lord and just keep walking. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep going to fulfill what God has called you to do, and let the Lord work out the nuts and bolts of it. One poem puts it like this: No chance has brought this ill to me. 'Tis God's sweet will, so let it be. He seeth what I cannot see. There is a need for each pain. And he will one day make it plain that earthly loss is heavenly gain. Like as a piece of tapestry viewed from the back appears to be, but tangled threads mixed hopelessly. But in the front a picture fair rewards the worker for his care, proving his skill and patience rare. Thou art the workman, I the frame. Lord, for the glory of thy name, perfect thine image in the same. Perfect thine image in the same. Oh, what a blessing tonight to know that we can see God's purpose from the start, that God had a purpose in this journey. We see God's preparation on the way. God was preparing a ram. He had one selected out. Finally, we see God's provision in the end. They arrive on the mountaintop. Abraham takes Isaac, lays him on the altar. God hasn't worked yet. Binds him up, has everything set out, and he lifts the knife, and he's going to do it. And just as he goes to lift the knife, or just as he goes to plunge the knife into the chest of his son, God cries, or the angel of the Lord calls out from heaven, and verse 11 says, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Oh, we see God's provision in the end. God took Abraham right to the plunge point before he intervened. And you know how often God does that. God takes us right to the plunge point. God takes us right to the cliff edge. God takes us right to the 11th hour. God takes us right to the day, right to the moment, right to the hour. God takes us at times right to our limits. But he always comes through in the end. Yes, in the end, as he always does, God came through in Mount Moriah. He did intervene. He did provide. He did reward Abraham's faith. God always rewards honest and genuine faith. It's interesting to note that it doesn't seem Abraham noticed the ram there at all. Maybe so caught up in the moment. Didn't look around, didn't look behind or whatever. But he unnoticed was a ram that was caught in the thicket. here's what I want to say about this particular point. It was unnoticed. But here was a miracle in the midst of the mundane. You know, there was no supernatural sign here. An angel didn't descend from heaven with a ram. A ram didn't appear in a puff of smoke. A ram just appeared caught in the thicket. Nothing particularly unusual. Not so often how God works. Remember Moses. When Moses wanted a sign to prove that, you know, that he was God's man for that moment. You know, God didn't say something, you know, give him some great vision or whatever. God says, what is that in your hand? It's a staff. Cast it before me. Just an ordinary staff. And God done something wonderful through that. And used that ordinary staff to be the confirming sign. And here, God worked in the mundane. And you know, here's the thing. So often as Christians, when we find ourselves backed into a corner, or we're up the mountain, as it were, with Abraham, and we wonder how on earth God's going to provide, we look for supernatural things. We want a supernatural sign. And we can be so busy looking for the abnormal that we actually miss the miracle in the normal. God just so often works in maybe ways that we haven't thought about, ways that we haven't noticed, but God often works in just the normal. And finally, folks, when we take God at His word and trust God and His will and follow God in the way, we can be sure to find God's provision in the end. To experience God's provision, Abraham had to first be in the right place. You know, we can't expect God to come through and meet our needs if we're not willing to go through with God. If we're in the wrong place, why have we the right to expect God to move in a mighty way to meet our needs? Abraham had to be in the right place first to experience God's provision. And remember, when it came a little later on to providing the bride, for Isaac, it said, the servant says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. We've got to be in the way. Finally, not only had Abraham seen firsthand the provision of God, but Abraham learned more about the person of God. Because in the end, he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. It simply means the Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. Abraham had said in verse 8, my son, God will provide. And in the end, God provided. And Abraham testified to that. And you know, here's the thing tonight. God is still Jehovah Jireh. Don't doubt him. He still sees to and meets our greatest needs in our most darkest and most difficult of ours, when there seems to be no way out, he's still Jehovah Jireh. And as the Apostle Paul could say, Philippians 4:9, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't know if you're frustrated this evening, maybe you're confused. God has guided you and everything seems to be unraveling, and have you got it wrong? No, you haven't. In from the start, we've seen God's purpose from the start. We've seen God's preparation on the way. We have the beauty of seeing behind the scenes. We have the beauty of knowing about the ram before Abraham did. We see God's provision in the end. God will always come through. You just make sure you're in the right place. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep leaving it with the Lord. And being in the way, the Lord not only leads us, but feeds us. And you know, as God takes us to the mountaintop of testing, we find ourselves there. We learn more not only about our own faith, but we learn more about the person and the character of God. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. May that be an encouragement. Maybe as you look at Genesis 22, maybe in a slightly different light than before. What a blessing to know that the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, this God, is our God even unto death. Now let's spend the rest of the time this evening in prayer. And there's much to pray for, and even in light of what we have heard from God's word this evening, may that bless your heart, and may you maybe even rededicate yourself to the Lord, and that maybe there's a door that you need to walk through that you haven't yet. Well then, why not do that this evening and commit your way onto the Lord and trust Him to bring it to pass. Do continue to remember the needs of our church fellowship. I say, as last night we met as office bearers to discuss the plans for reopening our church. It's going to be quite complicated. There's a lot was discussed. So do please pray for us as we continue to fine tune these. We don't know when the executive is going to make a decision on churches opening, but do please remember us as leaders. We do need your prayers in these days. Do also remember those in our church fellowship who are in hospital at this time. Both folks from our church are still in hospital with separate illnesses, and they're not COVID related, but both do need our prayers, and most of you should know about them already. Do continue to remember those from our church who have had the COVID and are recovering well, and do pray for them. Pray for others in our church family that just need a touch from the Lord, those who are isolating, those who are lonely, those who are fed up, and do continue to keep in touch with one another. Do continue to remember our government and our land in these days and all that is going on and the decisions that have to be made. Finally, don't forget, as I announced on Sunday, the two children's events this week. CEF are running that 5-day club online, and do pray the Lord's blessing upon that. And then a little bit further ahead, we announced that we're planning to have an online holiday Bible club ourselves with Andy and Ruth Lavelle from the 6th to the 10th of July, and Monday to Friday. So do please remember that work already, that the Lord would be blessing it. The invites have gone out on the internet, and do please pray that the Lord would use that ministry for His glory. So I'm going to lead off in prayer, and then I'll sign off. Remember again the Lord's Day, 11:30 and 6:30, and do please tune in again to God's Word. Our Father, we want to thank You this evening afresh for Your Word to our hearts. We want to thank You, Father, that we've been reminded that You are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, we know at times You call us to walk particular pathways, and they can seem confusing to us, and we wonder how it's all going to play out. Thank You that Abraham just trusted and obeyed. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to keep looking to the Lord. We thank You that Your purpose was to test Him from the start. We thank You that along the way You were preparing, You were putting provision in place upon that mountaintop. We thank You, Father, that in the end You provided that lamb, that You spared the life of Isaac in a much more poignant way. Lord, we think of Calvary and how Your Son was led on the altar, and yet there was no substitute for Him. He was the substitute for sinners. We thank You for His sacrifice this evening. And we pray, Father, that we would continue to trust the Lord to meet all of our needs. We are a needy church at this time, and we continue to remember the plans that we're putting in place for reopening. Lord, we long to be back in the building, and we pray for our executive as they would make a decision when that will be. But Lord, for the practical things that need put in place, we ask for Your leading and guiding. May we know the wisdom of God in all of these things. Bless those in our church this evening who are in hospital. And Lord, those recovering, those needing that touch. And Father, we commend the doctors and the nursing staff onto You and ask that these folks would know the hand of the Lord upon them. And for those in our church, Lord, that have been smitten with this virus, and we thank You that they're recovering. And Lord, we bless You that there's been no new cases in our church, and we do pray that the folks that have had it would continue to go from strength to strength day by day. Lord, do continue to bless our church fellowship at this time. We think of the Bible clubs that are going on, the CEF club on this week, and our own holiday Bible club a little later on. Lord, we long to see You moving in these days. We commit these things to You and ask and pray down Your blessing upon it. Father, thank You for another night in Your Word. And as we would continue around the throne of grace, we ask that You would hear and that You would answer our prayers in accordance with Your will and for the glory of Your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.